Warning, the following podcast contains descriptions that some listeners may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. Any opinions expressed are all our own and do not in any way represent the opinions of where we work. So just before we begin, I would love to make a big shout out to one of my favourite podcasts of the moment, Murder and More. There are currently 6 episodes, all free and up for grabs on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else where you get your podcast fix. So go take a look. I absolutely love her voice. She has this beautiful, kind of a posh London accent, which I really enjoy listening to. So again, it's Murder and More, and go catch her wherever you find your podcast fix. Welcome to Mad or Bad. My name is Rachel, and today I have no Neil. Oh. This is a mini episode, so today I will be discussing the case of the Jameson family disappearance and murders. On a fall evening in 2009, the Jameson family disappeared into the woods of Oklahoma in the United States of America, leaving behind a set of bewildering clues and a case that still actually remains unsolved today. Bobby Dale Jameson, age 44, and his wife Sherilyn, age 40, and their 6-year-old daughter Madison, Stormy Star Jameson, yes, what a name, were living what appeared to be a fairly normal life in Oklahoma until the 8th of October 2009. That day, all three of them mysteriously disappeared from their home with no indication of where they could have possibly gone. On October the 16th, so this is 8 days after the family went missing, the first major discovery of the case occurred. Hunters in a remote location in the woods, about a quarter of a mile away from the Jamesons' last known location, discovered the Jamesons' truck. The truck was found in Latimer County, about a half an hour drive from the Jameson home. The family had recently been in the area looking to buy 40 acres of land, where bizarrely they planned to live inside a storage container that they already owned. The truck was abandoned and still locked, and the items discovered inside the truck seemed to indicate the couple had not planned to be away from the truck for long. Inside, investigators found their IDs, wallets, phones, Sherilyn's purse, and also the family dog Maisie, who was alive, really malnourished, but still alive in the back seat of the truck. Daisy had survived by eating her own feces. Bobby's cell phone in the truck contained a photo of his daughter Madison, believed to have been taken the day before the family disappeared. There was also $32,000 in cash left in the van. Both Bobby Dale and Sherilyn were on disability at the time of their disappearance, and where they could have gotten that much cash or what they intended to do with it is still unknown to this day. Investigators suspect that drugs may have been involved in the disappearance and that the large amount of cash was the result of the couple either buying or selling drugs. One key piece of evidence was that the truck failed to display any signs of struggle at all. It was impossible to tell from the condition of the truck if they had left voluntarily or had been forced out of the car by somebody else, perhaps leaving their belongings there kind of, you know, under duress. Signs that may possibly point to them leaving on their own accord could be that they're, you know, possibly off the grid kind of people. However, signs against them willingly leaving the car would be that they left their pet dog Maisie locked inside the car. And I mean, who does that really? The GPS left in the truck indicated that the family had been further up a nearby hill prior to the location where the belongings were found. So investigators actually followed the GPS coordinates, and it was there that they found footprints. One day later, on October 17th, a search party was set up, and basically the search party was made up of about 300 police people and volunteers. And these people combed through miles of the woods and surrounding area looking for any trace of the family, and it turned up absolutely nothing. The case's second important discovery did not take place until November the 16th, 2013. So this is years after they'd gone missing. That day, 3 miles from where the truck was found 4 years earlier, hunters scouting for deer hunting locations stumbled upon partial skeletal remains of 2 adults and 1 child. The remains were less than 3 miles from the truck. Forensic testing by Dr. Joshua Lanter proved that they were the skeletons of the Jameson family. But unfortunately, due to the state of decomposition, the cause of death could not be determined. His report stated that there was no evidence of trauma. However, it couldn't be fully ruled out due to the incomplete remains. The final report suggested the deaths occurred in suspicious circumstances. No shit, Sherlock. And then the police actually ended up reopening the case. So there's some noteworthy aspects of the Jamesons' lives leading up to their disappearance and their subsequent deaths. The last known person to have seen the Jamesons alive was a man who lived in the mountains, about a quarter of a mile from where the pickup truck was actually found. He claimed he saw the family looking at the land, because they were looking to buy some land. However, he did not see them after that or anyone else in the area. Neither Bobby nor Sherilyn had a job and they were both receiving disability, which I've already mentioned. And in 2003, Bobby was in a car accident, leaving him with chronic pain for which he took medication. So both Bobby and Sherilyn reportedly suffered from bouts of depression. And I know Sherilyn also experienced bipolar disorder. Sherilyn's depression had deepened after the death of her sister Marla 2 years prior to their disappearance. She apparently died from a bee sting on her tongue, leaving Sherilyn devastated. Sherilyn was also bipolar and was regularly off her medication, so it was quite uncontrolled. According to Sherilyn's mother, Connie, Bobby and Sherilyn were struggling financially. On one occasion, Sherilyn's mother was at her daughter's house and she overheard Bobby telling his wife he knew how to get more money. However, he didn't want to involve her in it. Furthermore, Sherilyn's son from a previous relationship, Colton, went to live with his father in Oklahoma City weeks before their disappearance. This reportedly worsened their finances because Sherilyn stopped receiving child support. During the initial investigation, a detective working on the case characterised Bobby and Sherilyn as, in quotes, scammers. Bobby had worked for many years at his father's gas station for free. His father had promised to make him half owner when he was older, but did not fulfill the promise. And months before his disappearance, Bobby was actually in the process of suing his dad for $10,000. Reportedly, the Jameson family had also been planning to buy this 40-acre plot of land and move their container there to live in it. I don't know why. I don't know why you'd ever want to live in a container in the middle of the woods. And oddly, Sherilyn's son Colton, who had been living with the family just weeks before, had no idea that this was actually happening, which is quite strange, really. So there are so many different theories as to what happened, and neither of them really seem to go anywhere, which is quite strange. So the first theory that we will discuss is, was it a murder-suicide or just a murder? So a detective working on the case characterised the family as being, in quotes, obsessed with death. In the abandoned pickup truck, authorities discovered an 11-page hate letter written by Sherilyn addressed to Bobby, in which she accused him of being a hermit. Another letter that was found at home mentions a lot of death as well, and it's speculated that one of the adult Jamesons shot the other and his or her daughter and then committed suicide. The coroner actually found a hole in Bobby's skull, and it seems most likely that Sherilyn was the one that would shoot her family. She owned a .22 caliber pistol that she kept under the driver's seat. However, that gun has never been found. It has also been pondered whether the family committed like a group suicide. So this led the investigators to speculate that Bobby Dean had driven his whole family into the woods, murdered his wife, murdered his daughter, and then himself. But again, that can't be proven. Sherilyn's mother is insistent that both Bob and Sherilyn were good parents, and that there is just no way, and this is in quotes, there is no way that Bobby and Sherilyn would let anything happen to Madison unless something had been done to them. It's quite noteworthy that Sherilyn's mum did live with the family for a period of time, so she'd have a good reference point to base that opinion on. And I guess the other option is, was it just plain murder? Another hypothesis considered was that Bobby Dale's father had been involved. About 6 months before the family went missing, Bobby Dale had filed that protective order against his dad, claiming that he had threatened to kill him and his family on two separate occasions and that they were afraid for their lives. Bobby Dale's petition for a protective order paints the picture of a very dangerous man who thinks he is above the law and was involved in prostitutes, gangs and meth. A judge actually dismissed the petition on August the 8th, 2009, and nothing really came of it from then. But as we spoke already, Bobby had been in the midst of suing his father for $10,000 for basically allowing him to work for free. Bobby Dean Jameson, the dad, did die a mere 2 months after the Jameson family went missing, and he had been in poor health for some time. So really, was he even capable of killing the whole family? It's, you know, doesn't sound very likely. There was another suspect called Kenneth Bellows. Bellows had lived with the Jamesons months before they went missing and was quickly ruled a suspect due to having a motive. Apparently, he offended Sherilyn by speaking badly about Indian people, claiming white people were superior, and Sherilyn didn't really take that very well. Apparently, Sherilyn threatened Bellows by pointing a gun at him and forcing him to leave the home. But he was investigated and soon cleared. And I'm not really sure that's enough motive to kill a whole family. So it's a bit strange. The case seems to have many leads, but none of them seem to lead anywhere, actually, quite conclusive. And investigators remained unsure of what to make of their mysterious disappearance and death. Israel Bocamp, who was one of the county sheriffs at the time, stated that, quote, "A lot of investigators would love to have as many leads as we do. The problem is that many point in so many different directions." So the second theory is whether drugs or mental health were involved. To corroborate this theory, authorities found a bizarre video of the couple on their own CCTV system from the day they went missing. Bobby and Sherilyn are shown to be in a trance-like state, apparently packing their pickup truck. They're not really talking, but stop and stare at each other various times. Now, I've looked at the CCTV camera footage, and I don't think it looks strange. It just looks like they're putting stuff in their van. I don't see them stopping and staring at each other. But the thing is, the CCTV camera only kind of takes a picture every 3 seconds, so you can't really deduce anything from it, to be honest. So, I'm not really entirely convinced about that. So apparently Sherilyn is seen putting a brown briefcase in this truck, but this briefcase has never actually been found. So that's quite interesting. Authorities believed it contained a large amount of money, but, you know, again, that's just speculation. So at the time of their disappearance, Bobby and Sherilyn were incredibly thin and emaciated. And when they went missing, apparently they were hooked on crystal meth, but again, that is speculation. During the investigation, Pastor Gary Brandon came forward and revealed that the Jamesons believed their house was haunted. Apparently, there were 3 to 4 spirits living in their home, including 2 children, Emily and Michael. Madison, the daughter, was said to speak regularly to Emily's sister, who had wings. Bobby also reported to the pastor that he had seen 2 to 4 spirits on the roof. As a result, he wanted desperately to remove them from his home, so sought help from this pastor. He asked him if there were any special bullets that would kill the spirits. Sherilyn, on the other hand, didn't mind the spirits, and she believed she could exorcise them herself. While the authorities searched the home, they found a satanic Bible, and Sherilyn's friend Nikki Shenold claimed that they both liked witches and bought the Bibles as a joke. So again, it's one of those things, whether, you know, whether it's just speculation or not, I don't know. As regards the large amount of money that was found in the truck, so there was $32,000 found in the car. This may point to drug activity, but it also could have been a deposit or the payment for that land that they wanted to buy, which was why they were on the trip in the first place. So again, it's really hard to know where that money came from, or where it was, you know, going to go. So both Bobby and Sherilyn were known to have extreme depression throughout their lives, and there was this long hateful letter that was found in the truck from Sherilyn to Bobby. Although her mother has stated that this was quite common, but that they were, you know, generally good parents, they were happy, but they did struggle with their mental health. Another theory is that they just simply got lost in the woods, and that, you know, they died basically from exposure after getting lost in the woods. But there isn't really a lot of evidence regarding this either. Weather reports on the day indicate that it was raining, but apparently The weather forecast suggested not enough to get them lost. The temperature was about 4 to 5 degrees Celsius or 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So again, that's not enough to really die from exposure, I don't think. The family members are also adamant that Madison would never leave the dog Maisie behind, and that for them not to take their dog while wandering through the woods is quite unusual. So that just doesn't add up again. The Jamesons also left everything in the vehicle. Like, if you were going to go on a walk, wouldn't you take your, you know, your mobile phone, you'd take your wallet and stuff. You wouldn't leave all that stuff in the car. That's really, really, really strange. Bobby, as I've mentioned already, had really bad back pain. So would they really be going on a 3-mile walk if, you know, he suffers from this back pain? However, I guess if the family did decide to go for a walk, the thing is, if you did walk 3 miles and then tried to come back and maybe missed and kind of went in the wrong direction, there is lots of scope for getting lost. So the possibility is there, but again, you just can't tell. You cannot tell. And another theory is that they were involved in a religious cult, which this is kind of interesting, actually. So Sherilyn's mother, Connie, still believes the family were murdered by a religious cult. Interestingly, Nikki Shenold received an anonymous call from a woman claiming to have seen Sherilyn's name on a cult hit list. The United White Knights, a Southeast Oklahoma cult led by Imperial Wizard Richard Green in Mississippi. The White Knights is essentially a denomination of the Ku Klux Klan, who are obviously famous for being an American white supremacist hate group, primarily targeting African Americans. So that's quite interesting. But again, that's all the evidence that we have for that. To this day, there are still no answers to actually what happened. The lead investigator at the time quit his job in 2011. Reportedly, he felt really guilty about not finding Madison's killer. So that was a 6-year-old child. Pastor Gary Brandon had moved away and has never spoken about the incident again. And Maisie, Madison's beloved dog, who miraculously survived 8 days with no food, was adopted by Bobby's mother. So there is some happy ending. But yeah, it's such a mystery. It's such a mysterious case. Yeah, let us know what you think, what your theories are. So that's the end of the episode. As always, check us out on facebook.com/madorbad. You can like us, share us, and give us a review. You can also find us on Twitter @madorbadthepod. And just catch us wherever you find your podcast fix. See you next time.